Mike Buseglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Appreciate you tuning in and taking a few minutes to listen to what's going on locally with running, maybe some tips and thoughts on how you can improve your own running. A lot of exciting things going on. We just finished out the indoor season in track for the high schoolers and just culminated UVA season indoors for the ACC championships. And we're really kicking off the spring racing season right now, local racing season, which really affects thousands of folks. We had the Charlottesville Track Club had over 10,000 people last year participate in their events alone, not to mention all the other events in the area. So that definitely affects a big slice of the running population. And we kicked off things with the Run for Haven 5K downtown. It was really tremendous. We had 150 folks for a first-year event on a very windy and pretty chilly morning. We were pretty pleased with that. All the proceeds benefited the Haven. We had kind of a neat downtown course. Of course, hilly, barely a flat section on the 3 miles that we, 5K that we ran around downtown. It raised over $3,000 for the Haven, which is the day shelter for our homeless neighbors. And Gabe O'Fish and Khaki Domek are involved with the Haven. Really big help to me personally. And then I, of course, had all my good buddies. I'm helping out volunteering. Austin Smith was the men's winner in 1815. And Anne Mazur ran 1912 to win the woman. She was second overall, actually. It was pretty cool. And had a lot of neat performances out there, a lot of good performances. And a lot of folks I didn't recognize, actually. It was really neat. So to have kind of a newer crowd, novices, and folks maybe new to the sport, new to racing. And really neat because we went top three in each age group, male, top three female. So a lot of people, we had the award ceremony inside the Haven, beautiful venue in the old sanctuary there with the sun streaming through the stained glass windows. It was something special. So anyway, we're hoping to make this an annual. And like I said, a little over $3,000, that certainly helps. It's by the time you're hearing this, it's going to be 31 days until the 10-miler.
Wow.
By the time you're hearing this podcast, we'll be able to say the 10-miler is this month, later this month.
That's right.
Because we're recording this on the last day of February, and you'll hear it on the first day of March or thereabouts. Pretty cool stuff. And, you know, the obvious thing, if you're trying to, scrape some rust off and get some dust off the old running shoes and your running bod, be careful. Because 4 weeks, a little over 4 weeks, is not a ton of time to get a person that's been running 1 or 2 or 3 miles a day ready for the 10-miler. So I the point I'd like to impress them on, folks, is it's just not worth getting to the starting line injured.
Right.
You might as well get to the starting line reasonably fit, maybe get your long run up to 6 or 7 miles, and then pray and hope. And with a little bit of luck on race day, if you pace yourself properly, and we're going to talk obviously more about that as we get closer to the race, you'll end up being successful. But getting injured on the way, that's just no good. So you have to be really careful with that. Next up in the blocks, the MJ8K. It's a great tune-up for the 10-miler. That's on the 10th of March. And why is it a great tune-up? It's 3 weeks out. It's a hilly course. It's half the distance. It runs over some of the course. Tremendous event, Martha Jefferson 8K. And a lot of folks have been asking, have they moved it? Have they moved it up physically to the new hospital? No, they have not. It's still the same, really challenging downtown course. But you get a good notion of what your 10-miler time is going to be by running your 8K time. Let's say you run 7 minutes and 15 seconds per mile on the 8K course. That's approximately, you're going to be about 7:15, 25, 35. You're going to be about 7:40 pace, probably 7:45 pace for the 10-miler, somewhere in there, I'm thinking. Yeah. So 25, 35. Yeah, about 7:40, 7:45. So you can think of adding about 25 to 30 seconds per mile onto your time from what you run the MJK. And you can't get much closer than that to the race, so it is a real accurate read. If you ran the MJK in December, and then you train for the next 4 months, sure. It's a different story, but you're really not going to be training much at all.
The MJAK last year helped me prepare for the 10 miler in two ways. One, because I remember I ate, I don't remember what it was now, but I did not eat something that was good pre-race day last year. I can't remember now exactly what it was, but, and I also went out too fast last year at the AK.
Yeah.
And that definitely, it was a good lesson for me for the 10 miler a few weeks later.
Yeah, it's your PSAT.
You exactly.
You get you all your stumbles and your nicks, scrape your knees then,
right.
And learn from it. What you ate the night before, how you warmed up, how fast you went out, you know, how you paced yourself. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to test the waters and be a little more confident going into the 10 miler. While we're still on the roads, maybe we'll talk a little bit about some pretty neat accomplishments over the weekend. Leah Connor, who's one of my really close buddies, she's my assistant for the marathon, half marathon training program. She helps me with the 10-miler training program, does a lot of really great stuff behind the scenes. She's on the track club board. She went down and did the Disney Princess half marathon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All women's half marathon down in Orlando, I guess, obviously.
Right.
15,000
wow.
people, 15,000 women. She was 97th.
Oof.
Pretty impressive.
Wowzers.
And she's now running her half marathons per mile faster than she was her 5Ks just a little over a year and a half ago. Pretty impressive improvement for Leah. She ran 7:38 pace. She was just 6 seconds away from staring at 1:39:59. She ran 1:40:05. So congrats to her on this improvement. She was 10th in her age group, 97th out of 15,000. And then our buddy Glenn Anderson, he checked the box for number 49, so he's now done a marathon in 49 states. It was Massachusetts over the weekend. He was up there with his buddy Andrew Zapanta. Andrew had a tremendous half marathon effort. He's run 30 half marathons, Andrew, and this was his third fastest. Very, very good for him. But Glenn, struggling a little bit. He's a little bit banged up. He's actually hurt. Mm. He said he was limping for some of the race. He's limping now. And this is something I feared was going to happen because he's been on this tear to get to this 50th marathon.
Yeah.
So he's got a little break here. Doesn't have to do is he's got his final one set for Delaware in May. So I told him, I said, why don't you just take advantage of the break here in time? Because you got, say, March, April, got about 3 months. Why don't you take some time off? You know,
sure.
Heal yourself up, get some physical therapy and get yourself put together. Because I really don't want to see him. When you're limping, Dr. Wild always says this, you know, when you have to change your gait mechanics, you know, if you're limping during your running, that's
right.
Trouble. That's when you back off because otherwise you create a new injury. So anyway, congrats to Glenn and let's hope a few words of advice that I dropped on him the other day. You know, he hates hearing it from me because, you know, Mark the know-it-all, Mark the pain, Mark the negative Nancy, whatever I'm called a variety of things. Those are the nicer things I'm actually called. But anyway, I always say, you know, no one's your better friend when it comes to running than me, even though you hate me. I would say it over and over again because
yeah.
I'm trying to keep you going.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you from getting more injured. But sometimes those words just don't sit right with people. So it's always an interesting. You know, they got a running partner, a spouse saying, you're awesome. Keep doing this. Drive through the pain. You can tough it out. And then seemingly negative kind of downer of a person who's, you know, he doesn't believe in me. He's down. He's saying, you know, take a few days off and, you know, why don't you back off or don't finish this workout today if you're hurting. That was happening this morning. It was starting a cold rain.
Yeah.
And I was noticing that some people were going slower as the repeats were. Mm. They were supposed to do 16 400s. You should get faster with these four sets of four. Some were getting slower as the weather was getting worse. And I said, you know,
tough
come
sign.
On, let's end it. Let's call it a day. You've had a good one. If you're going slower, it means you're working harder. To run slower, it means you're starting to get inefficient. So you know,
yeah.
Can appear to be the voice of doom or the gloom or whatever. But in reality, you know, it's an unpopular task being a coach sometimes. But I take a lot of comfort in knowing that my motives are driven
exactly.
by trying to keep people, you know, injury free and keep them going.
Exactly.
So, ACC's over the weekend. Oh, my gosh. You know, you Virginia did quite well here. We had four athletes pick up ACC titles. Marcus, the Rocket Robinson in the triple jump continues winning ways.
Mm.
Mark Amaral was a champion. Morgan Gay. It was three. Three champions. Sorry, we had three champions. Morgan Gay won the mile. Men's and women were fourth. Pretty cool. And the guys, 5,000. Let me see if I can go to my notes here. Mark Emmerall won in 14:13, and Chris Foley was second in 14:14, and Thomas Porter was third in 14:16. A clean sweep of the 5,000, 1-2-3. They picked up 24 points, Mike,
nice.
In one event.
It's impressive.
And, of course, you know, where we continue to be weak is in the sprints, the short stuff, the 100s, 200s, the hurdles. And there's word on the street that Coach London may be willing to start working. He's only been at the helm for a few years here now, but he and Ryan have, you know, talking about maybe getting some of the football players out for outdoor
the speedsters,
track.
Yeah.
Maybe we can compete with the Florida States who really utilize their football players and Clemson and
right.
NC State and North Carolina. It'd be nice. Because to have a successful outdoor or indoor track team, you have to have the whole package.
Right.
You have to have jumpers, field event people, sprinters, and distance runners. And we've got great middle and long distance tradition here at Virginia, but one of the reasons we're not one of the best track teams
for that
is because of that. So that'd be really cool. But Kyle King, seventh in the 3,000, nice little PR, 8:13. And Chris Foley, a nice double. He was, like I said, second in 5,000. He was ninth in the 3,000. Taylor Gillum, one of our employees, fourth in the mile. He was UVA's highest finisher, 4:10. Anna Corrigan, she was second in the 5,000, fifth in 3,000. That's a nice little double. And then Vanessa Fabrizio, fourth in the 800 and 2:10. So pretty neat stuff. I know we can continue to improve. Fourth is not what Coach Fetzer wants. He wants higher. Good for him. But for now, first few months here, pretty decent stuff. The high schoolers, excellent a job from our locals here. We had seven local kids score blue ribbons, you know, win state titles. Adam Visake, the great runner, UVA bound from Almar High School, won the 3,200 for Almar. And then his teammate, Ryan Thomas, fifth. He's a sophomore in the mile, 4:18. Mike, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So really, really impressive time. And I was noting that he was the fastest sophomore. He was beaten by three seniors and a junior, so you can only imagine what's coming down the pike for this kid. Lauren Brady, nice little 2 mile, 11:39. And then on the double A side, we had Dave Taylor from Western win the mile. Really, congrats to him. Great job. His sister, nice little double. Annie Taylor, 11:55 in the 3,200. That was a nice PR. And then she scored 10th in the mile. Katie Farina, good to see her coming back. She was 6th in the 1,000. And just the champion, Javonique Burris, a double gold winner from Louisa, a great name and really talented athlete, 55 hurdles and long jump. She was first. Hannah Mader and Chance Parmley, the pole vaulters from Fluvanna.
Yep.
They've got quite the program there. They're getting to be a lot like Western. They were both first.
Very cool.
Isaac Robinson from Monticello, first in the high jump. David Johnson, the great jumper from Charlottesville High School. He was first in the triple jump. So those were... those were our state champions over the weekend. Congrats to them. We have some neat stuff coming up. We talked about the fastest kid in the Ville. I've talked to Brian Fetzer, and it looks like it's going to be 50 meters. It's on the 24th. It's going to be wrapped inside or cased inside the collegiate meet. It's going to be late in the afternoon. And they're pretty much looking to, you know, who's the fastest kindergartner in town.
Yeah,
for 50 meters. It's half a straightaway. Pretty short distance, so
right.
we're not asking kids to reach for this. Who's the fastest, first grader, second grader, third grader? I don't know. I think it's probably going to go through elementary, maybe through middle school. So that's on the 24th. Mark your calendars. And that morning, of course, is the McCormick Mile. Anybody
right.
looking to go longer than 50 meters, anywhere from kids all the way up to seniors? We're going to have master's divisions. We're going to have kids' divisions. That's all taking place at 7:30 that same morning. And then something just announced, we've got a marathon workshop set for the 18th of, you might want to attend,
yeah.
Mike, if you're
very cool.
Available. It's a Sunday afternoon. We're going to have some tremendous guest teachers, guest experts. Art Weltman's going to be talking about the kind of every breath you take. He's an exercise physiologist. He's going to talk to you about what happens to your engine in training and in racing and how the environment affects you, how fitness affects you. Tremendous guest to have. And then one of our RMR athletes, she's a nutritionist. She's a great two-time Olympic trials marathoner. She's going to chat with folks about the nuts and bolts of nutrition. And then Dr. Wilder is going to chat about the most common marathon injuries and how to prevent them. How to prevent them. So, you know, the types of things that help you keep out of the breakdown lane. And then we're going to have some experts talk about cross training. What is the appropriate cross training you should be doing if you're training for a long distance running event? Is it swimming? Is it bicycling? Is it aerobics? Is it Pilates? Is it yoga? So we're going to have that set of speakers there. And they're going to be separate. There'll be half hour classes, and the question and answer, and then we'll move on to another guest expert. So we're really psyched about
cool.
this. The 18th, it's free, but you're going to be frowned upon if you don't give a donation to the Jefferson area, to the Blue Ridge Food Bank.
Right.
So that's the one I've pegged. So I don't. We're not looking to make any money off of this, but most of the events I put on, I like to see some of the dollars trickle to a good cause. So anyway, you got to call the shop or go to alec@ragamountainrunning.com to reserve your spot. Space will be limited. And again, that's Sunday afternoon. It's probably going to be a 1-4 gig.
Okay.
With the Marathon Workshop. And then Janice Jakewith wrote a really nice piece, bittersweet, because it talked all about her injury, her calf injury that she experienced. She's in program one of the 10 miler, and she got to 7.5 miles fine, and then got a little hiccup with her calf, didn't quite rest it enough, and went out and tried to do 8.5 miles the following week and really busted it up pretty good. And the whole, it's in the Hook, last week's Hook. I'm sure you could find it by going to their site. She does an essay, a column in there, I think once a week or once every other week. But good learning piece. I talked to her on the phone. I said, Janice, you're like the poster child to help other folks out with this. We've seen a fair amount of kind of odd calf scenarios recently, kind of fluky things. And one that one of your peers down here, Les, he's in the training program, and he's out right now.
Oh, is he really?
Driving to the studio one morning, and I don't know if it was a morning or afternoon. I didn't get the details from him. He was telling me this whole story.
Yeah.
And he's listening to the radio to his station that he's, pretty much runs the show, Z95.
Sure.
And apparently, whoever was DJing was getting ready to, or had just started a song that was inappropriate. Particularly for Z95's audience.
Uh-oh.
And, that tends to be a little more family-oriented station.
Right.
And so he guns the car, screeches up into the parking lot here at the studio. True story. Doesn't even turn the car off, opens up the car, the car door, and leaps out of the car and sprints to the door. And he seizes up about, 4 or 5 feet away from the door with his calf strain. He limps in and stumbles into the booth says, "No, take that off."
I wonder what song it was.
You'll have to ask Les.
I'm scared.
What it was. So, you and I a few weeks ago joked about that pumped up kids and pumped up kicks or whatever. We were going to do that as our song for Runcast.
And, it's a catchy tune.
You better run. But then we realized there's some lyrics in there that aren't terribly appropriate, certainly for Runcast, about a guy running with a gun.
Yeah, it's
and shooting them with his. Better not let my bullet catch you or something.
Yeah, pretty much just run fast because you're running away from bullets. I suppose if you were, that's a good motivation.
I mean, I'm laughing about it, but it's such a comical song in that it sounds like a top 40 kind of bubblegum song. Yeah, it does not sound like the hip-hop type rap stuff that normally you would get that type of lyrics. So anyway,
I bet you 80%
of
the audience doesn't, just listening to that song, it's
got a good beat.
Kind of mumbled together in
good
a way.
Good beat,
yeah.
But you and I listened to it a couple times in here and we nixed it. And I don't know if it was that, but
that's funny.
So poor Les. And then I had another one. This is, I don't know if we talked about this last week.
Fluke accidents.
The woman that was running down Rugby. She was doing this a couple times a week to pick up her speed. She was running down Rugby Road.
Yep.
And there's that speed monitor.
Yeah, I know.
Thing that blinks. It wants you to go 25 miles an hour. If you go 29 or 30, it flashes a different color.
Yeah.
She was trying to run by that thing to see if she could go faster and faster each time. And she's out with a calf strain.
I got to be honest. That's something I've always wanted to do.
It is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, see how fast I'm going.
You look at this big, beacon as you're flying by there.
Yeah, that's a natural.
Flashes a 7.
That's funny.
Let's see, 7 miles an hour, 8 miles an hour, 9. Could I be going at 10-mile-an-hour pace, 6-minute pace? Yeah, most people for a short period of time probably could.
Right.
For 50 meters could run 6-minute pace. So anyway, pretty. unique injuries here, unique sources of the injuries. But all kidding aside, Janice's article, I went through, I laid out some tips today, Mike, on what happens when you get hurt. And Number one, first thing, stop exercising. Stop. Back off.
Yep.
You know, your bathroom's flooding because the faucet, you know, is open. You turn the faucet off.
Right.
If you've got water, you know, spluing out of a broken pipe, you turn the water source off. So you've got to stop, you know, your exercise. Okay, right. That's first. Second is consult with an expert, whether it's a coach or physician or a doctor friend or physical therapist friend, but consult. Figure out what your next steps are. And usually the next steps are the following. So number three here is eliminate the source. What's the source? What's causing the problem? So this woman running by the sign, that was the source. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore because it's downhill. Maybe once a year you could try something like that, but not every week.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to get hurt. So eliminate the source. With that woman a few weeks ago, what was the source of her calf issue? She wasn't warming up before the start of race. Is it running on hilly terrain? Is it running on hard surface? Is it bad shoes? Are you tight? Do you need to stretch differently? What's the source? What's caused? Is it lack of sleep? Eliminate the source. You know, address it and eliminate. And number four is treat. You know, treat. So with Janice, we think we got the source, and she stopped running. We think we got the source, and we started treating. Heat in the morning, ice at night, Advil, light rolling, whatever.
Yeah.
Number five is rest and recovery. So, you know, you come back. Okay, do I go in the pool now and run in the pool? Do I take 3 days of running off? Or do I gently come back with some flat running on, you know, a soft surface? And then, of course, that's number six is a slow comeback. You know, even if you've been training awesome for 10 weeks, and you have a problem for just 1 week, you still need to have a transition week where you ease yourself back in. Not because you're out of shape. You don't get out of shape in a week, but your body has been hurt. You want to make sure it doesn't come back again.
You know,
so even though you've eliminated the source, you don't want to start the engine up too quickly. So those are six kind of tips in order of what to do when you get hurt. All right. I think that's about it. You know, like I said, a lot to talk about and we've got a quiet week this week. The students will be heading out of town on Thursday and Friday on the 2nd and 3rd. It's spring break.
That's right.
Did you not realize this, Mike?
No, it just clicked.
You're getting old, Mike. You know,
no,
you're getting spinning
bad.
Out of the, you know, so right around the time you start talking about March Madness and Selection Sunday, you know, that's right around the time of spring break.
I knew it was spring break because my partner in the UVA baseball booth is actually still in college at UVA. And I found out yesterday.
Good, you're on top of this.
So
it's the third
24-hour notice.
They're gone from pretty much the 2nd through the 11th. And, you know, so it'll be quiet. And then, like I said, next up in the blocks is Martha Jefferson AK, which is on the 10th.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.